This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 20th of August, 2025, and you are on the clock green. And let's get the show started today. We are commemorating the passing of Mr. Paul Hanna. Today is the anniversary of his passing. And so throughout the show, we're going to be playing some music from his catalog of living, not just of music, his catalog of living, his catalog of life. You're going to hear some music from Paul Hanna today. Paul Hanna meant many things to many people in this country, and even to those who did not know he existed. He did his work quietly, I guess, pun intended, because he's a musician, without much fanfare, which is also kind of punished because he always got lots of applause whenever he performed, right? But he chipped away at his charge, at his mission, and he has impacted the lives of so many around him. Today we commemorate, we hold his family, his immediate family, the broader family, in our arms today. And in the spirit of music and arts, I want to tell you all about something awesome that's happening here on New Providence. The School of Communicative Arts at UB has something for us. In fact, on August the 15th, they celebrated the opening of the Coca-Cola Art Project exhibition, and they had the award and an award ceremony attached to that, announcing four student winners of the Coca-Cola Art Project. The Visual Arts and Design Department led this initiative under the leadership of Kishan Monroe, who is the Chair of Communication and Creative Arts during this crucial phase of the country's growth and development. This show is being hosted at Echo Gallery at Bahama until August 29th. You guys go and check it out. And the exhibition features the work of talented students who drew inspiration from Bahamian music icons. So if you get a chance, go and check it out. The Visual Arts and Design Department within the School of Communication and Creative Arts at University of the Bahamas, launching the Coca-Cola Art Project exhibition at Echo Gallery at Bahama until August 29th. Now, Mr. Paul Hanna is a staple in the lives of many Bahamians. His music every day they listen to. Let me tell you all what another staple is. Something, perhaps one of the only things more popular than Paul Hanna's You know what that is? That's the potato. That's the potato. There you go. There you go. Yesterday was National Potato Day. The 19th of August in the United States of America, of course, is National Potato Day. Now, not everything the U.S. does, okay, concerns us, but my guests are in the Zoom room. All right, good stuff. We'll get into them in a second. Not everything the U.S. does concerns us, but this thing right here, the potato, my goodness, the potato and the onion, the potato and the onion, I think the two largest imports, they're the top of the list. I don't know if you could guess which one is number one and which one is number two and why, but that's an aside. We can get to that maybe on another day. But yesterday, the 19th of August, was National Potato Day. And let me tell you all something. We eat a lot of potato in this country. Potatoes, potatoes, potatoes. Now, joining me in studio today, I have guests from Equality Bahamas, and today we'll be discussing, in the first segment of the show, developing feminist standards for governance. Good morning, ladies. How y'all doing? Good morning, ladies. Y'all there?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Miss Wallace, how are you?
Doing well.
Has Miss Russell joined us? Good morning, Miss Russell.
Good morning. I'm well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so today we are talking with Equality Bahamas about a campaign that they are currently actively running called Developing Feminist Standards for Governance. It's I'm going to let our guests tell us what it is and why it's important. And I got a list of headlines and stories that I would like to connect to this process as we go through the discussion this morning. If you ladies give me a second, I just want to read a quick headline to sort of warm us up. Coroner shooting rulings, quote, discouraged some officers, close quotes. That's in today's Tribune. Man charged with impersonating a policeman allegedly for several weeks. That's in today's Tribune, and this headline here, grandfather pleads guilty to incest. Even livery union head rejects claim that they are taking jobs from taxi drivers. I think all of these stories, all of the issues that arise from these stories are being sort of highlighted, tackled, discussed, engaged within this process. So once again, good morning. I have Ms. Alicia Wallace, founder and executive director of Equality Bahamas, joining us. And I have Ms. Jessica Russell. She's a therapist, feminist, and human rights advocate. She provides talk therapy for individuals, couples, and families at Family Wellness Center in Grand Bahama. And she holds a master's degree in psychology, certification in domestic and sexual violence, and is a passion and has a passion for human rights and gender equality. Good morning, ladies. Once again.
Good morning.
So tell us, what is developing feminist standards for governance?
Well, feminist standards for governance is really a process that we started in 2021, virtually, inviting people to identify issues that we see in the country. So many issues, and people are very readily available to acknowledge them and to talk about them, but we often get stuck just talking about the problem. It's more difficult to think about why the problem exists. So this process is designed to help people to think through issues in a way that lets us identify the root of the issue, see who is responsible, not just for creating that issue, but for coming up with the solutions or implementing solutions. And within small groups, we talk about the systems that exist around a particular problem that we want to discuss. And we do it in thematic areas, so it makes it a little bit easier to handle. So we'll have a session that's just focused on women, a session that is just focused on social services, on arts and culture, on labor and the economy, so that we're able to bring people together around thematic areas that are really raising something for them that they're very passionate about. So it's great to have artists in the space when we're talking about arts and culture. It's great to have people from different industries in the space when we're talking about labor and economy. But kind of throw out all kinds of issues and see which one really sticks, which one people get really excited about. And then we start working on it, getting to the root of it. And then the more difficult part is figuring out how we address the issue in a way that doesn't just solve one problem or doesn't just address the problem for one group of people, but gets at the system, at changing the system so that related problems also are addressed.
Okay. Now, let's start. I sort of sent you the list of questions I wanted to touch on. I want to go sort of to the bottom, right? What is feminism, right? And what are feminist standards? And can this model that you have developed be applied to other types of standards? So, for instance, could somebody say, hey, are we going to take this model and we're going to use it to develop Christian standards for governance, or maybe even sort of like a naturalist, like for people who are primarily, who center nature primarily in their lives, are standards for governance? Maybe the environmentalists may take that approach?
Sure. So looking at feminism, we're talking about equal rights and opportunities and outcomes for people of all genders. So the very nature of this process, we're calling it feminist standards for governance because we're talking about addressing these issues in a way that solves the problem, not just for the majority or not just for a particular group of people, but we're ensuring that we're looking at people who are in situations of vulnerability, the people who are the most oppressed or the most negatively impacted by an issue and the systems that are undergirding it.
Right. And so can I just interject? So it could be that our preconceived notions of what feminism is distorts our understanding of what feminist standards mean. So I use an example like religious standards or Christian standards or naturalist standards for governance, but the feminist approach is a broader approach that encompasses every actor in the environment.
Yes. So we're thinking about specific groups of people. So for example, we might be looking at education. And people might say, well, there's an issue in education where all of the students are not participating in physical education. There isn't physical education in all the schools, and we need these students to be more active, and everybody should. In a term, you know, when I was in school, we had to run a mile. Everyone should have to run a mile. And in this discussion, we might have a lot of people who are agreeing with that and making a connection with health issues. But then we are encouraged in the group, everyone kind of takes on different identities to think about. Mm-hmm. And somebody in that group is going to say, well, I have a card that says I have to think about people with disabilities. What does this mean for a person who is a wheelchair user? Mm-hmm. Are we going to force them? How are they going to run a mile? Are we going to expect them to use their chair to cover this mile? What does equality look like in this space? Mm-hmm. What does it look like to ensure that everyone has equal access and opportunities and no one is particularly disadvantaged by something that we're putting forward as a solution? So that's a very simplistic example, but it's a way to think about groups of people that may not always be in the room, mm-hmm. and that may not always come to mind when we're designing solutions. So we want to be very intentional about ensuring that not only we are benefiting everyone, but we're not disadvantaging anyone by simply not thinking about them.
All right. So we may take a policy that requires every student to run a mile within a time limit as a physical education standard or marker, but we would shift that policy to say that there must be a physical activity standard for each student. So for physically able, they run a mile. For students that have injuries, like this child recently had a broken ankle, right, or has a brittle bone disease or condition, that their test may be different. And for someone in a wheelchair or with extremely limited mobility, their test may be an upper body test, right, to show that they have physical strength in the parts of their body that are mobile.
Right. And we also want to think about things that might be a condition on the day. So you might have someone who shows up that day and they are having severe cramping, yeah, or they're having a heavy flow with their menstrual cycle. You know, all of these things have to be considered.
Right. Should a young lady on her cycle be expected to perform at the same standard as a young lady who's not on her cycle, or as a young man that doesn't experience a cycle at all?
Exactly.
Okay. Good stuff. All right. So, but for me, the definition of feminism I use is ensuring equal and equitable to legal, economic, social, and religious systems, right? And so it's not about privileging or prioritizing women over men. It's ensuring that both men and women get what they need and how they need it, right? Equality and equity. For many people, they think, in fact, I have a text here that says, it's ironic your guests are equality advocates, but they push women over men. There is an agenda to destabilize the relations by elevating women over men. It's clear to see. And so I want to respond to that in this discussion about the definition of feminism and say, texter, right, you know what? Whoever's doing it, they're very successful at what they're doing because they have confused you. They've convinced you that the enemy is not who the enemy is. They've convinced you that women are pushing an agenda, right? That women are diminishing men to cause you to get mad at women and want to diminish them, which is just feeding into their... Also, you'd be surprised if you really open your eyes and look at society, look at the media that fills our spaces. You'd be surprised when you get, you know, the Scooby-Doo in the mystery van, when you all pull the mask off the culprit and see who it really is, who is creating this dynamic. Okay, so feminism is not the prioritizing of women over men. It is seeking equal and equitable access to systems. In the seeking of balance between men and women, it may appear that women are being privileged or prioritized over men, but we must read these things in a broader sense of time. Historically, women have been oppressed. And there are many areas in which women continue to be oppressed. What many men are experiencing is not oppression, right? It's an inability to benefit from a system that's designed to benefit you. But that's not oppression. Okay, so text. So we know what feminist standards for governance are, and we get in a sense of what developing feminist standards for governance is. What is the people's agenda? Ms. Wallace?
Yes, yeah, sorry. I thought Jessica would jump in there.
Okay, cool. Ms. Russell, you and Grand Bahama, I don't want Grand Bahama people feel we're leaving you out. How you doing?
She might not be able to unmute in this moment. You know, women, we are doing multiple things at once. But the people's agenda is, it's going to be a document that compiles the recommendations for some, demands for others that we have as Bahamians, as people who are living in the Bahamas, for the government. These are actions that we want to see taken, policies that we want to see implemented in the next 5-year cycle. And we're crowdsourcing them. There's a way that we, of course, as people who are a part of Equality Bahamas, round the table as 10, 12 people, and write an agenda by ourselves, but it's really beside the point. We want to create an environment where there is greater civic participation. We want to recognize the expertise and the experience that exists within all of us, regardless of our education, of the jobs that we hold, the titles that we hold. We are all living here, and it means that we have an understanding of our situations, of the challenges that we're facing, and we hold the solutions, even if they don't come to mind right away when we're in conversation with each other, when we're discussing the issues and where they come from, we can bounce ideas off of one another and be able to build solutions together. So the People's Agenda is really the product of bringing people together, having these discussions, and innovating in a room together.
Okay. Okay, so the People's Agenda is the document that will be produced at the end of this process. And what I was hearing just now is that the People's Agenda is the document, and this particular model, this process, aims to include as many voices as possible, all voices as possible. It is presenting a political agenda to the government or potential candidates in a different way.
Yes, and through this process, we're shifting power. Normally, when an election is coming up, you know, you see political parties.
You broke up there for a moment, Ms. Wallace? You still there?
Okay, yes. Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah. Repeat from where you started. 12 seconds ago.
You receive a manifesto.
Oh, boy. Okay, pause. We're having a little issue, I guess, with the Zoom connection. Let's start again. Okay. Ms. Wallace, we're having a little issue with the Zoom. You're coming in and out, and it's very disruptive. Let me read a couple of texts, and you keep testing it. Come in, and let's see if we could get a steady connection. Here's a text here. It says, Aaron, I've sat down and unfortunately read the entire article from 2021. Although the article references community input through surveys and working sessions, it provides no actual data citations or demographics. This makes it difficult to assess whether the recommendations reflect the broader population's needs or are primarily driven by activist groups. Okay, so Texter, you see that little mechanism you did there where you said, is it reflecting the broader population's needs or is it primarily driven by activist groups? The process is primarily driven by people, whether you're individuals or you're members of advocacy groups. The majority of people who've passed through the process for this election cycle have been ordinary people with no affiliation to an advocacy group, but maybe a non-governmental group, like a charity, a community-based organization, a faith-based organization. And that's the purpose of... Let's try again. Or let's maybe sign out and sign back in, Ms. Wallace, and let's see if that works. Oh, that's Ms. Russell. All right. Jessica, Ms. Russell, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good stuff, good stuff. Ms. Wallace, you jump in whenever you're ready. Ms. Russell, welcome from Grand Bahama. One of the events, upcoming sessions, is taking place in Grand Bahama this weekend. You want to tell us a bit about that session?
Okay, so that one focuses on arts and culture, and we're looking to speak to anyone with any interest in that area. So from newbie to expert, we'd like to hear from everyone.
Okay. I'm thinking this will be an exciting session because there's so many new things happening in the arts and culture space, and it's generating a lot of energy. We have the creation and the opening of CAPAS, the Creative and Performing Arts School. We've got the renovation and revitalization of the Dundas. University of the Bahamas is soon to be launching a community school of music, right? And so it's a great time to start putting policy ideas together because the government is actually creating policy and fleshing out policy around these institutions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so when and where in Grand Bahama for people who are there and want to participate?
So it will be at Lignum Vitae Market, number 1 Kings Road, on August 23rd at 1 p.m.
Okay, okay. And what do people...
They can go to our social media pages to register, so we know to expect them.
Mm-hmm. And what do I need to bring with me when I come?
A nice attitude and...
And I love it because your personal experience is your expertise.
Right. So we're not necessarily looking for experts. You don't have to have a lot of what they call alphabet soup after your name. Mm-hmm. You can have an interest in the arts, maybe a bit of experience, but we want to have people who are sort of living this reality to be able to say, these are the problems that I see. And what can we do about them? So I don't know about you guys, but every family event turns into a political debate. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to talk about the solutions to the problems instead of just sort of focusing on the problems. And we recognize that that is not an easy thing to do. So we've sort of done the work to fine-tune the process. So we'll be there to facilitate the process of sort of heading toward a solution.
Absolutely. Okay. The next two sessions, so that's Saturday, right? The 23rd of August, this Saturday, Grand Bahama Arts and Culture Session, Developing Feminist Standards for Governance. In New Providence, on the 18th of September, the next topic is LGBTQI+ people. And then on the 25th of September, the next subject or topic is labor and economy. And those are going to be...
Yes, the one on the LGBTQI+ people, also that's women and LGBTQI+ people.
Okay.
And we put these together because the rights and the experiences of these groups of people are linked. And it's important that we acknowledge the link between them,
mm-hmm.
and steps forward for one should be steps forward for the other. And there are ways that they can be played against each other. So we're very intentional about grouping them together. And then that final session that we have in September on labor and economy should be quite an interesting one, because there are so many conversations happening right now in the business world. A lot of conversations about the difficulty and the cost of doing business in particular has come mm-hmm. up quite a bit. So it will be interesting to see what issues people raise. And a lot of the issues actually cross over into other thematic areas. You know, it's not very common to have an issue come up under a particular theme and not see connections to others.
Mm-hmm.
When we had a session on arts and culture, it was quite interesting because we had a recording artist, we had a visual artist, and an art teacher with us, among others. And there were conversations about the lack of funding for the arts. There was a conversation happening about the way that arts and culture are devalued,
mm-hmm.
and often seen as just making something pretty, right? Not really seen for having a substance to it and being powerful for changing people's minds and for educating people. And there was a conversation about investment. But what I found really interesting was this question of a national definition of and for Bahamian culture and what that means for the orange economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, another article in today's paper, government struck out I hate talking about money in this way, but the people then borrowed the money, say a lot of money for the blue economy, some like $10 million for the blue economy, right? Like where that's an issue that we could discuss. Like, who should get the money? Who should be prioritized, right? Should it be women fishermen? Should it be youth fishermen, right? Should it be people building fish farms? It gets really exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, I read a text while we had a little bit of disruption, and the text said they're referring to a 2021 article. I wanted to ask, has Equality Bahamas produced any documentation on the prior... Developing feminist standards for governance processes?
No, those are being integrated into the one that we are continuing now,
mm-hmm.
and should have a draft published this year, within the next couple of months, actually.
Okay.
So definitely look out for that. It would be on our website and be on our socials at Equality242. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. So Tex, I'm not sure which article you are referencing, but they go
there
on.
There were a number of things that we did in 2021, so they might be looking at the recommendations to end gender-based violence. That was something that was produced in 2021 for sure, which was also a crowdsourced set of recommendations
mm-hmm.
that we have been using over the years. So it could be that, and it mm-hmm. it could be promotion for sessions that we were holding at that time. We weren't able to produce the document in 2021 because, as you probably remember, the election was called early. We were preparing for the 2022,
mm-hmm.
and it got that period got cut short. So we've just continued that work into 2025.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to, as we transition to... So the Texas said that's the article that they're referencing. And I've just... This is a regular text on the subject. I want to say this to the texter. You know, if you spend more time advocating for men as opposed to bashing women who advocate for men and women, then somebody would be advocating for men in the way that you want, eh? Texter. The energy that you have and the concern that you have for men, take that energy and advocate for men as opposed to bashing people who are not doing the work the way that you want them to do it. That's what I had to do.
Yeah, there's a men's desk at the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. There's no women's desk, but there's a men's desk. So get in touch with them.
Yeah.
Get support for your work.
And start doing the work and helping them and the nation build capacity in this area. Reach out to David Williams. Reach out to Cleaver Duncombe and talk to them about building platforms as opposed to bashing the people who are doing work that actually supports men. Here's another text. Good morning, Miss Green. Anyway, the people them have Ganep. Sorry, this is an emergency announcement. The people them have Ganep. I've taken down your number, texter. But let me tell you all just quickly what to do with Ganep. See how it rain and the Ganep can get water soaked? Pop them in a pot, cover them with water, boil. That's your base for your lemonade. Now you got Ganep lemonade. Now you have the exact treatment you need for this summer heat and the heat wave. Money on the ground. Producer Liz.
Sounds like you're ready for the labor and economy feminist standards for governance session.
I'm telling you, making the economy more accessible to Bahamian people. Caller, where you went? I just tell the producer to pull up the call. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning to the ladies. Ms. Green, This organization, which you have on this morning,
uh-huh.
they anything to do with the lady? So you had on, or you promised to bring back on again, so we could finish.
Okay, no. So that conversation was with the Catherine Florence Initiative,
mm-hmm.
and that's Crystal King and Ashley Hanna
talking about women.
And you're right. So they're also talking about gender issues,
mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily policy advocates.
Mm-hmm.
Those ladies are focused on broadening the conversation about...
That's what I get. And I was wondering if they could have worked together.
Well, listen...
You think it'll be better? Listen, Ms. Green, let me finish it.
So yeah.
If you want me to stay, I stay, or I'll hang up and listen. Ms. Green, I say that to say... Sound like these ladies are smart, educated ladies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sound like they're talking about a little bit of politics and feminist stuff like that and a couple other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I listened to you over the years, and you ain't hiding nothing. You came out and you let the world know your precision lifestyle, whatever, right? And I respect you for that. So I listened to you over the years. You're very smart. You can sell ideas. Maybe all your ideas... Don't care how you try, might not be able to sell. But I wonder if, group, especially this group right here, if they could consider. I know plenty of them smarter than you. But you bring something to the table, and I want to encourage them to work along with you or allow you to work along with them like you might be doing already, and I might be not be aware, but I sure there's more you can do. And I listen to you over here. Like I say, they might be smarter than you, but the way how you is bringing it across and you is more settler, it more could sell, and it's not disruptive, complicated, and problematic. I would come across sometimes. Ms. Green, when I say the politics, I wonder if they could say something. I listened to the member for Fox Hill, Fred Mitchell, and he threatened to out either persons of a certain lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle,
what?
From different parties. He said that a couple of weeks ago, and I was wondering how they feel about that, because I don't think it's all about that. When we're sick, we go to the hospital, we don't. I hear someone screaming. We don't have the doctor.
That was me. I holler. I said that was me screaming. I hollered just now. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I said, when we go to the doctor,
yeah.
You don't ask them kind of things, them foolishness, and the teachers and stuff. We come to get service.
Okay. So, yeah.
So they are professional people also.
Yeah.
So I don't think
that's appropriate.
I don't think the chairman of the PLP was fair when he said that. I wonder how they feel about it. And I wonder if they would consider allowing you. Girl, you could be the leader and all. I know they're smarter than you. They should listen. All right? The way how you bring things across, they could sell. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And see, the advocacy space, the our community, our families are multi-layered, and everybody have a place and a purpose, right? Sometimes you need the old crazy woman who live in the wilderness with nature by herself, meditate and think all the time, pick the leaves, the bush, and the medicine, right? She needs to be there. And then there are people who go and talk to her, and they bring the message forward, right? And they interpret it, right? There are people who, and that's it right there, who interpret it so as many people as possible could access it. I am hoping to bring both the ladies from the Catherine Florence Initiative and Equality Bahamas to see where they could collaborate on some issues without a doubt. And it's not a matter of selling it. You know, I love the way you engage, Papa. It's showing people that these are ideals and ideas that you already believed in, right? This idea that there's strict rules for men and women get debunked in the Bahamas, because I know so many men that are better hair platters than women. That's their job in the family, and they take pride in it, right? The way that we live here shows us that the gender rules and norms are not necessarily the way that we've been told that they are. Men plait straw. That's how come they could plait here. But everybody plaits straw in straw plaiting communities. It's not only women do that, only men do that. Right? And so the Bahamas, we have this wonderful opportunity through our lived experiences, right, that may be interpreted by advocates and activists, by writers and songwriters, right? But it's the lived experience that gives us the knowledge and the value, and that we hope to extract in this process of developing feminist
standards. Fraternity. So the yumps.
For governance. Okay, ladies, the 23rd of August is the next session, Grand Bahama. Are there any sessions taking place in New Providence before the 18th of September? Or any Equality Bahamas activities that people could link into?
September 18th would be the next Feminist Standards for Governance session. We have book club tonight at Poinciana Paper Press. So if you've read the book All Fours by Miranda July, do join us at 6 p.m. at Poinciana Paper Press.
Okay, awesome stuff. And social media press, where can people go to find the registration links for these sessions?
The easiest way to do that is to find us on social media at Equality242. So you can go to facebook.com/Equality242 or Instagram. We are Equality Bahamas there, Equality242. And if you are at your computer right now and you want to go directly to the registration link, it's on a Luma page. So it's lu.ma/feministstandards.
Okay.
Luma, lu.ma/feministstandards.
All right. I got a couple more texts here. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to your lovely guest.
Morning.
Yeah. Though I can never conceive in my mind why would a man hate a woman or hate a woman? You know, my favorite person on the planet was my mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's inconceivable for me for somebody to have just any type of behavior towards a lady. But I made a mistake. This is Equality Bahamas. I thought it was some rights group. But I wanted to call because I was disturbed. You know, but there is a disparity. You know, it's us men who are not advocating as far as equality. You can be equality as we live. It's multifaceted. We can go from the justice system. We can go from here and there. And so we must bear in mind the golden rule, because I really wanted to just make a quick comment on something you read earlier, in which it said that the police officers are... They are dubious and they are reluctant now to do their duties or something of that nature. It's not verbatim, mm-hmm. but it relates to the ruling from the coroner's court. And so it's amazing. I just would like for all of the rights Bahamas and all the rights groups that call themselves these, but just instead of operating in silo, to come together to address the injustices. We deserve a better police force than this. And so there's many things coming across to me that I don't put on the air. They are still... confiscating. They're doing a number of things that the commissioner needs to know about. And it's not going to change if people don't speak about it. If you have an unfreedom of the press, then it's not going to get any better, because I'm sickened by that narrative. They do have similar to that when me and Mom was on the radio and they were saying they're ready to resign and they're ready to do their job.
Monroe said,
that's BS on the screen. I mean, really and truly, you're disrespecting the coroner's court. You're disrespecting the human people. You're saying that you're infallible and you're doing nothing wrong
52.
Despite the plethora of injustices appearing in the courts. That's what I'm saying, Ms. Green. Somebody needs to address this problem. Appearing in a uniform and looking haughty doesn't solve the problem. It only sickens my spirit. Give thanks.
Give thanks, 52. They're shaming themselves. Earlier in the year, Minister of National Security, in a statement at... and an aside, picked up by reporters, indicated that a number of police officers had reached out to him to say that they want to remove themselves from frontline policing now that the coroner court procedure has resumed, right? And we're going to transition to that story in a second. I got another text here. Boy, text, I'm going to read this because of the theme of the conversation. It says, y'all women only focus on women. I only focus on your subject matter. If you want to keep women in focus while men die, then I'll focus on women. Thank you very much. Texter, you need a hug? You need a hug with a Bible, some coconut water, a mango, and some guava duff. You need a hug. You need a real hug. You heard what you just said? Because women are only focusing, because you perceive that women are only focusing on women. You and you mad at that, you've decided that you are only going to focus what the women who you mad at are focused on. And so you're not going to focus on the men. What I'm saying is, Texter, you need a hug. Okay? And I can't give you the hug, I'm sorry. But that doesn't mean that I can't empathize and advocate for you receiving the psychological and emotional health and wellness that you need. That's all. That's all. Why somebody send me a Google verification on this bubble phone? Y'all don't be trying to hack my phone. Okay, ladies, I want to thank you for joining us again. I know, you know, in 30 seconds, can you tell the people what feminist standards for governance are and why this process of developing them is so important?
Feminist standards for governance is a process that we've designed, a series of workshops for members of the public to come and be a part of a process of telling the candidates, telling the political parties that are vying for leadership of the government what we want and what we need, and being very clear in highlighting not only the issues, but the ways that we address those issues. We are inviting people to come to hear from others, to share their ideas, to have their own ideas be built on right in front of them. And we're really looking forward to seeing people recognize their own knowledge in the space, doing something that seems hard, but that will get easier when we all start to do it together and realize that there are other people there to help. We're really looking forward to being able to present this people's agenda in mm-hmm. the coming months ahead of the next general election, and giving the Bahamian public a tool to use for engagement with political parties and with candidates as they come door knocking.
Absolutely. I want to thank you very much, Ms. Alicia Wallace and Ms. Jessica Russell. therapist from Grand Bahama. Thank you so much. And Ms. Russell, you tell that child, we say thank you for allowing you to spare some time with us this morning. A parent's work is never done. See, listen, just before you all go, let me share this. The texter, who I said they need a hug, their response was, don't worry, I'll call the Christian Council for y'all to whip y'all in shape. You mean like when Delton Fernanda came to the Pride lecture at the University of the Bahamas and UB security had to escort the panelists out for their own safety? Where the charge d'affaires, the U.S., government, their security detail determined that it was safest, like the safety was to escort them out of the event early. That's the same Christian Council you call in to whip us bad mind women into shape. That's the type of violence. You see why I said you need a hug, texter? Because you need a hug. You need a hug. And since you in this process, you feel the need to mete out this violence in this very sophisticated way, you need a hug from your mother. And you need to sit and ask yourself, is there unprocessed trauma from my relationship with my mother and my primary caregivers that is driving this uncontrollable and incessant need to mete violence out against women in any forum? It's what you think you could do to me on the public airwaves. What do you do to women in private, texter? Again, you need a hug. Stat. ASAP. NPO. No, that ain't what NPO mean. Minister, I need you to stop throwing these things into the common dial. Anyway, we go into a break. You're listening to some music by Paul Hanna. Coming right back when we close out the show.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back-to-school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at Nassau Guardians parking, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchett, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marcos, Wendy's.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You know, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary is up next, but I'm never quite sure what he plans on talking about. So I want to squeeze these headlines in just very quickly before we end the show. Coroner shooting discouraged some officers. Police Staff Association Chairman Ricardo Walk says a rise in unfavorable coroner's court rulings has discouraged some officers from carrying out their mandate, adding that he supports equipping police with non-lethal weapons to reduce fatal encounters. I could be honest with you. Those officers need to be removed from the force. Because those officers could have been engaged in a constant lobby for less than lethal weapons and tools, right, that would enable them to carry out the mandate without the risk of having to take a life. to enact law and order. That's not what happened. This is not the first time they've said it. Mr. Monroe very, emphatically stated, as if he was proving something, that a number of officers have been since the resumption of the coroner's court, and they want to be removed from frontline police. I said, what is happening? Those officers need to be removed from the force. And before you remove them, like completely disconnect them from the force, they should be required to engage in psychosocial therapy, psychological or psychiatric services. Because we won't just have this conversation without acknowledging the pressure that police officers are under. But you cannot be a uniformed officer talking about you gonna stop policing because a mechanism intended to ensure integrity in the force is now operating properly. On to another note. Man charged with impersonating a policeman allegedly for several weeks. I just want to say, I know that he's been charged. This is before the courts now. But this is an extremely important conversation. As important as the conversation as submitted by judges post-retirement. What does it mean that a person has been impersonating a policeman for several weeks, allegedly? These are important, these are very concerning and important things. Another note, government fires back at fiscal council. Now, let me just say here, they have a tendency of firing back. But did they really fire back here? Because the implications of that, that's your own mechanism. While an annual report from the Fiscal Responsibility Council raised concern over the government's fiscal projections, the Davis administration said yesterday it remains confident in its strategy, which is, quote, guided by realism and prudence, close quote. It would be prudent of you to apologize to Candia Dames. It would also be prudent of you to ensure the Secretariat publishes the full expenditure details for the 50th anniversary, the 51st anniversary, and the 52nd anniversary of independence. It would be prudent of you to tell us why it is the unaudited report for the games were allowed to be tabled in the face of an audited report already being tabled. That would be prudent. We continue to read very quickly because we are out of time. Quote, our fiscal strategy is balanced, sustainable, and firmly focused on securing a stronger, more resilient future for our nation and our people. And once again, all of those words, and you haven't told us how. And the government, quote, the government of the Bahamas is, we know that you're resolute. Even in what? We're not quite sure. But this is troubling. We could understand that you pick a fighter, refuse, because who are they? They're just media. Fiscal Council is people. See, Fiscal Responsibility Council is people. Anyway, it's been a, the Base Pro show, more time. Producer, let me just read this one so the people will feel that their opinions are being shared. Without bias, your so-called talk show hosts really need to take a page from Mr. Lang's show. Callers need to understand that they just can't call and say whatever they choose to without facts. You guys are becoming a danger to this society with the garbage y'all allowing on the air. The texter said it. I'm not sure why or who they're speaking to specifically. I spent a lot of time yesterday explaining why it's important to be responsible on the airwaves. And anyway, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. We don't get to read all the texts, but I try to read the most controversial ones so you understand that we're trying to be balanced on this show. Have a great day, Bahamas. I still won't
be close enough. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.